Well, at some. Well, hang on.
Answer that.
I'm trying to.
Stop getting so pushy.
Need a place to talk? It's right here.
I just love you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Glued to the radio right now.
But I hated the first time I met him.
You did not.
Hated it.
You're, Scott, you're a smart person.
The Rick and Scott Show.
Very smart person.
Yeah.
The Rick and Scott Show.
Stay out of this, winners.
On News Radio 1300 WOOD.
And that silence is where you would have heard my co-worker, friend, and colleague say something like, "Happy Monday morning, everybody. Man, it's cold outside. I'm Rick Beckett. Hold your applause until later." And then he'd introduce me, Scott Winters. And today, you won't hear that. And you won't hear that from here on out as we lost Rick Beckett Thursday evening at the age of 54. Today, I'm going to get through this. Today, we're going to spend... First off, I'm losing my voice, so this is going to be a fun show. Today we're going to spend about 3 hours just going back and reliving the times we've had together with Rick. Joining me in the studio this morning for moral support and to kind of fill in the gaps when my voice is gone, we've got a former program director and the man responsible for bringing the Rick and Scott Show to News Radio with 1300. We've got Phil Tower, and we've also got the current program director here at News Radio with 1300. We've got Angie Weiss. Good morning.
Morning, Guy.
Morning, Scott.
This is going to be the toughest show that I've ever done, for one. And secondly, I have never been more nervous about a show in my entire career. In 20 years of broadcasting, I'm shaking. I mean, this is just, it's one of those shows that it's going to be tough. But we're going to get through it. I'm going to be strong. Rick would want me to be. And Rick always used to tell all our female coworkers that, you know, whenever things got tough, you know, there's no crying in radio. And I'm gonna try to go by that same philosophy this morning if I can.
He'd be swearing at you right
now. Oh, he would be.
He'd say, "God darn it, winners!"
Yeah. And we were talking with Steve and Gary before we started the show, and I was putting a lot of these clips together, and there were a lot of things that I wanted to play, but you know what? Rick had a lot of influence on what you're going to hear this morning. He was. In the back of my mind, he was saying, "Yeah, that's what we need to play," or "No, that's, you know, not what we need to play." And so the influence is there from Rick on a lot of what you're going to hear this morning. You know, a lot of, and we're waiting to get to Rick's brother Fred on the phone here, but a lot of the time people would talk about, in remembering Rick, they would talk about his sense of humor. And not only did he have a sense of humor, but he had a big heart. And this goes back, a clip that goes back to 1997. So we're looking at 12 years ago, and it's a clip of we were talking on the morning show back then at GRD about, if you had to give up 1 sense, what would you not want to give up?
Today we've been talking about if you had to give up one of your major senses, you know,
mm-hmm.
which would you sacrifice and why, such as feel, smell, taste, sight, or hearing?
A lot of people are saying either taste or smell.
I've got one.
Which one?
One sense I wouldn't want to give up.
Mm.
Sense of humor.
That's true, and a lot of people don't have one to start with, so it wouldn't be too tough for them to give it up.
I don't think you can get through this life without a sense of humor.
You need one, you really do.
You know?
Especially in this day and age.
But how many, you know, think about this. How many people do you really know that have a really above-average sense of humor?
Very few.
I don't know that many people.
Nope.
You know? I think you either have that or you don't.
I don't think it's something you can learn. I think it's part of your personality, and it's either there or it isn't.
The only time I really don't have one is when I'm physically tired.
Yeah.
I get down because I'm tired, sleepy.
So are you tired today?
Okay. I see how this is all going to play till 10 o'clock, huh? Yeah. Keep laughing, funny man.
You know, and that was one thing that was fun about Rick, is he, not only did he have a good sense of humor, but he wasn't afraid to take cracks at himself. And to a lot, you know, even though a lot of times he would sound like he was offended on the air about me taking jabs at him, he loved that. He loved being the center of attention and being able to take those jabs and banter back and forth. So that will truly be missed. We're trying to get Rick's brother Fred on the phone. He's going to talk to us this morning. But for the first half hour or so here, I want to talk about kind of a personal side of Rick Beckett that a lot of people didn't really know much about. Rick was very open on the air about a lot of things, but yet there was still a private life that he didn't really talk about it on the air. Him and I would talk a lot about it, and I knew a lot about the stuff kind of behind the scenes. But one of those people was a friend of his named Deb Lowe, and she was there for him to take him to all of his doctor's appointments, to help him out managing all his finances, taking care of his health insurance. She was there, did his grocery shopping. and he, I don't know if he told you that Deb's in the studio with us this morning. I don't know if he expressed his appreciation for you, Deb, because I know that sometimes as men, we don't always express that appreciation as much as we should, but I just want you to know how much that Rick really did appreciate everything that you did, and him and I had many, many, many discussions over how much he appreciated everything that you did for him.
Thanks. No, I kind of knew.
Deb, tell us a little bit, because you were there when all this took part on Thursday, and a lot of people have asked me what actually transpired. Walk us through what happened Thursday night.
Okay. Well,
yeah, wait, can you get a little closer?
Can I go? Thursday we went and got his taxes done.
Mm-hmm.
Rick was all excited because he was getting a small refund from the city, and it really didn't faze him that he was getting a large bill from the feds. So he was all excited. And then we went to D&W, and he was mocking me because I was pushing one of those little baby carts. So he was feeling good and in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped me off, and then he called me about 6 and says, I'm going to take a nap or something to that effect. And then 8:56, he called, and all he said was, Deb, heart attack. And I sensed this horrific panic in his voice. And I said something, did you call 911? And I said, I'm calling 911. And I hung up. And I was getting the paramedics, and I couldn't find my keys in that. And so I thought, his neighbor, Rose and Ken, she works for a heart doctor. I called them, and they just happened to be on their way home. So I got over there, and she told me they got over there right after they talked to me. And Rick was sitting there talking to somebody on the phone, and they thought they heard him say he was okay. And then he fell out of the chair, and then so the first responders got there, and they broke the door down. And little Bandit was right there, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's about the time I got there. And I walked in, and I don't know, I think I knew at that point that, you know, Rick had left us. And they worked on him for about an hour, and then we took him in an ambulance down to the hospital. And so we're just thinking, just maybe, you know, Rick's got 9 lives. Maybe this, he's going to pull it off again.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rick. Come
because
on.
He has several times.
He has. I've been there a few times when he's had the last rites read to him. We found him once in his apartment, you know, and he was pretty well comatose then, you know, that he should have been dead at
mm-hmm.
these points. And nobody had a reasonable explanation why Rick kept surviving. So I'm thinking, not now. No, 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 this is not going to happen. So finally, and his brother came down, and after about an hour in the hospital, they finally, you know, brought us in, and then they pronounced him. But his heartbeat would come back for a little bit, but then they'd lose it, and they just didn't. You know, even if they would have brought him back, he wouldn't
mm-hmm.
have been back.
Right, right. Well, I know that you've been there through thick and thin, and I have to give you my appreciation, too, for all that you've done for Rick over the years. I mean, you were, him and I have been together for the 15 and a half years we worked together on the air, and just seeing the things that you had to go through, the good times, the bad times. I mean, you really were a saint for being there all those times. Because I many times said to myself, I don't know how Deb does it. I really don't know how she manages to deal with him on a daily basis like that, through the good moods, the bad moods, and those type of things.
He was never a dull moment. But as you well know, Rick was quick-witted. He was
mm-hmm.
very intelligent. He was, you know, incredibly funny. And he did have a soft spot for
mm-hmm.
things. One of my earliest recollections of Rick when I met him down at KLQ was he was worried about a little bird that had fallen out of the nest, you know, onto the street. And he was so overly protective of Bandit. It's like, Rick, I've had dogs longer than you. I think I know. No, you give me Bandit. You know, he went. We went that week to get the dog's haircut, and couldn't open the door until Bandit was on the chain. I had to hand Bandit to him. You
mm-hmm.
know, he had to pick Bandit up. And it's like, where are you going with him? But, I mean, that was his baby. And, I mean, Bandit was right there to, you know, right at his side right
mm-hmm.
when it happened.
And
too.
A lot of people have asked, too, what's going to happen to Bandit. You're going to take him, right?
Right. Bandit's coming home with me. He's staying with the neighbor because with all the confusion at my house, I don't want to subject him to my little wild dog yet. And
mm-hmm.
the neighbor has an older dog. And I go and see him every day. And he's, other than sorry, Patty, we'll get your rug replaced. He's coloring her white rugs yellow. She's taking good care of him. And, of course, Bandit, he wants to run back up the hill to Uncle Ricky's.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, Spike calls him Uncle Ricky, Daddy Ricky's.
Mm-hmm.
But Bandit will come home with me, and that Rick and I had discussed that, you know, and I always laughed it off, like, you take Spike if something happens to me. Right. I'm not going to take that wild dog.
Well, we always talked about, you know, Rick and I just, you know, it's funny because we talked about a lot of things together. We even talked about, you know, what happens when we die and stuff. But him and I never ever sat down and said, how do you want the other one to pay tribute to you on the air? We never, I guess maybe that was something we both kind of avoided because we never wanted to deal with that. And so when I knew I had to put this show together, I thought, you know, how do I do this? This was something that, of all the wild ranges of topics we talked about, this was never, ever even touched upon. How are you going to remember Rick?
just some of his sayings. Rick was funny. Rick, he could just call and no matter what type of a bad day, because I had something happen with my job recently, and Rick would call every day. He'd come over every day, and he'd just make a comment, and it would just make me laugh. Just forget about that place. And then he'd say something, but no matter what, Rick had a comeback for everything, and he didn't have to think, you know? And probably, well, the meat story. Rick and the big screen and the meat store and the pizza place and the dog. Those are probably, you know, Rick's life, and it's darn schedule. Okay, I gotta go. I gotta call Winners now. You know, I'll call you back. You know, he had a daily schedule.
Oh yeah, and boy, he did not want to change from that routine either.
Oh no, we had many discussions about that. Can't you talk for 5 minutes? No, gotta call Winners. Gotta take it. Gotta do that. And you know, in the magazines and the newspapers, like when he was homebound, you know, he had to have those newspapers brought to him. So.
Well, thanks for being there for him, Deb.
Yeah,
I know he appreciates it.
Thank you for everybody and everything that everybody's done and distribute to him, because I think he would be. Well, I'm sure he is. I'm really overwhelmed by all the coverage.
I know.
Because he had always mentioned, well, if I die, you know, it probably Channel 8 will bury it and it'll be on the last page of the press or something, you know. And, you know, and I'm like, little do you know, I've seen this. I mean, I've seen it in stuff all over the country. So.
Well, he made.
I think he'll be shocked.
And I don't know if he made the print editions of these newspapers, but definitely the online editions.
Yeah,
he made the Chicago Tribune and also the Detroit News.
Yeah, I saw that.
And every national radio trade.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen
magazine
that.
Too.
I want to bring in Rick had a very small family. His parents had passed away. I know his father died when we were still back at GRD, and his mother passed away since we'd been here at Wood. So his parents had passed on, and he always spoke very highly of his parents. And I don't know if it was you could hear it over the air, but whenever he spoke of his parents, at the very end, he would say, God bless their soul. He always got a little choked up about it. And so at least I take a little bit of pleasure now in knowing that he can be reunited with his mom and dad. But aside from that, he had a very small family. He had his brother Fred here in Grand Rapids and Fred's wife Debbie. And then he had his sister Jill out in California. And I think Jill's husband's name is Doug. He had Fred's kids, Buddy, his nephew, and Kristen, his niece. And then he also had a niece from his sister Jill, Olivia. And I've got Fred on the phone this morning up there at Kent City Ford. Hi, Fred.
How you doing, Scotty?
Pretty good, and you?
Doing good.
Tell us a little bit about your brother, kind of a personal side from, I mean, you've known him probably longer than any of us because of the fact that you guys grew up together. Tell us something that maybe we didn't know about Rick.
Rick, there was two sides of the coin with Rick. I mean, when he came to work and flipped on the mic, I mean, he was the king. He enjoyed radio so much, that was his life. But when that mic went off and he went home, I think there was a little bit of a dark side. I think Rick, in a way, was kind of lonely, I felt. I think that's why he read a lot of newspapers, watched a lot of TV. He wanted to try and stay positive, but when that mic went on, it was all him. I mean, he was great, but I always sometimes felt a little bit sorry for him. They didn't have any outside activities when he left the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
But great guy.
How are you and your sister doing with all of this?
I mean, we're doing
this
fine.
This had to be pretty tough for you to hear that, especially, I mean, Rick, you know, when you think about the average life expectancy for most people now is into the 70s, and Rick is 54.
Yeah, well, I said more than once this weekend, though, we all knew he wasn't going to live to be 75.
Right.
But they certainly didn't think he'd leave at 54 either.
Mm-hmm.
My sister Jill's doing fine. Doug, her husband, my wife Debbie, I've had a lot of family and friends around, my grandkids, we're all doing just great.
Well, surely our condolences and thoughts and prayers go out to you. And, Fred, I've got, over the last couple of days on my Clear Channel account, I've had the Rick and Scott at WoodRadio.com email. I've had probably close to 1,000 emails, and a lot of those are addressed to the Beckett family as well. I'm going to print those out this week, and I will drop those off to you so that you can share those with the family. And
great.
Just thanks for talking to us this morning, and Thanks for being there. I mean, I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Fred.
Bye.
There you go. That was Rick's brother, Fred. And Deb, I want to thank you for stopping in. Rick and I had always talked about as we grew old that we would probably someday end up doing radio in an old age home. And here was actually a promo that was part of that whole discussion.
I don't think we're going to see you behind a microphone at 88.
Oh, yes, you will.
Oh, will we?
Oh, yeah.
Stuffed like Trigger?
Nah, don't be saying that.
Maybe in a wax museum somewhere?
You'll be running the board. You'll be propping me up.
Yeah, okay.
Huh?
Changing
my depends.
Here's Rick Beckett's future. He's going to be doing announcements in the morning at the rest home. You'll hear his voice coming out of his speaker, but it'll be the PA speaker at the rest home.
Hello, fellow rest home citizens.
Rick and Scott, weekday mornings at 9.
Today's lunch.
I was going to say, tell them what they're going to have for lunch. We'll be having green beans and, just green beans.
That's your announcements for today. I'm Rick Beckett.
That's right.
Oh, what careers we have to look forward to.
I'll have a little microphone set up somewhere on a card table.
There, Rick and Scott.
Did you see that?
Yes, I can.
On WOOD.
The Rick and Scott Show.
You're hearing Rick and Scott on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
I'll get you in a rattlesnake rattle plus. That'd be good for you.
Oh, yeah.
You need to try that.
Oh, yeah.
I was honest to God scared doing that.
Well, yeah, I can understand why. You could die.
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus, you're pumping gasoline down their hole.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, are they smoking when they come out.
Well, I would be a little upset, too, if someone was pumping my hole.
Oh, yeah? What hole are we talking about? You're like regular wrestlers.
That was one of those cases where you start to say something and then you realize maybe you'd better stop while you're ahead.
And Beckett would have never let you get away with that either.
No. Real quickly, we're doing a tribute to Rick Beckett this morning, who, if you just tuned in and haven't heard, passed away Thursday night at the age of 54. Not only did he have his family and his friends here at work, but he also spoke really highly of his neighbors. And I've got two of them on the phone with me right now. I've got, this is Ken and Rose. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Tell us a little bit about Rick as a neighbor.
Well, Rick was a good neighbor. We had a great time with Rick, and he was always amiable. He liked talking with us outside. Of course, usually it was on his terms because he wasn't one that was too outgoing around our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But when he wanted to talk, he was. He was quite able to talk with us. I think probably one of the funniest things that happened to us was that it was another time when Rick was sick, and he was in the hospital, and he'd had a little problem with his heart. And so Rose and I went up to the hospital to visit him, and he was in there, and we went in the room, and the nurse came in that was attending to him, and she had his diabetes medicine for him. And he didn't act like he wanted to take that. And then Rose noticed on his tray there that the previous medicine for diabetes hadn't been taken either. So they had he had two things of diabetes medicine there he hadn't taken. And, of course, my wife, being the nurse that she was, started to get on him about taking his diabetic medicine. And after she got finished, she said to both of us, she said, I think visiting hours are over.
I'm going to stop you right there because we have to take a break. I'm going to put you on hold. I want to come back and talk to you a little bit more after the break.
All right,
hang on. We're running a little late here, so I'm going to shut up so we can get some news. But we'll come back and talk more about Rick Beckett after this on News Radio Wood 1300.
Pugnacious and right on point. This is the Rick and Scott Show on News Radio Wood 1300.
I fessed up to yet another kitchen disaster. Emeril Lagasse, I'm not. I've stopped using real silverware.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right? I'm strictly into plastic everything now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And unless companies coming over, I that's when I use the clear plastic.
Ooh.
That's like the good china.
Stuff.
Like the good china, right?
Like the silver.
So I'm using a plastic white spoon, just a basic white spoon, right?
Okay.
I have a pan of clam chowder going at home. I'm not really paying attention to it.
Surprise, surprise.
But I've left the spoon in the pan.
Oh, yummy.
So about an hour later.
An hour?
I come back, and the spoon part of the spoon has melted somewhere into the clam chowder. All it is was a white stick.
I bet you taste tested it, though.
Yeah, I did. I was turning around and going, where did that go?
I think you should stay out of the kitchen.
I think you're right.
We're remembering Rick Beckett this morning on News Radio Wood 1300. This is what will be the final Rick and Scott show. Rick passed away last Thursday night, in case you haven't heard. A lot of people have asked about a funeral or a memorial service. Rick requested, it was his request, that there wasn't going to be a memorial service or a funeral. So the family wants to respect those wishes. And so we're kind of doing a memorial service of our own with a special three-hour tribute this morning. And this will be available on the podcast. Yep. So if you go to Wood to Go Podcast, you'll be able to listen to it. Perhaps if you missed part of it, you'll be able to listen to the whole thing. That'll be posted later today. In the studio with me, Phil Tower, from a former program director, responsible for making the Rick and Scott Show possible here on News Radio Wood 1300, and also Angie Veist, who is the current program director here at News Radio Wood 1300. Do you guys have any thoughts? I mean,
well, I
other
just,
than the million,
yeah.
I just right want to talk about what I told you this morning. It kind of broke both of us up. Actually, I was crying in my car when I looked at it. I pulled into the Grand Rapids parking ramp behind our building, as I did and do every morning, and typically park next to Rick. And this morning, I noticed a handicapped parking spot.
Which is where he always parked.
Which was where he always parked. And it wasn't the one on the far right. It was the one space in. And whoever knew this knew exactly where he parked. It was blocked off with an orange cone. And above the cone was the handicapped parking space and the sign. And below that was a picture that the city had erected and a sign that said, "In memory of Rick Beckett."
Wow. I mean, and you got a picture of that.
And I got a picture of that. We'll try to put it up at woodradio.com. And, you know, Scott, I know this is the hardest show you have ever done. I heard you say about how nervous you were earlier. I was here the first day you guys went on the air together. I think you were more nervous then. But
No. I was actually this morning coming in here, even to do crosstalk with Gary and Steve, I was shaking. It's been a wild weekend of up and down emotions for sure.
Well, none of us ever expected Rick would pass away, especially this early in life, even in spite of what, you know, what he's been through. But the fact is that I am so thankful. I've told this to a lot of people in email. I feel blessed to have been able to work with him and. He, and I'm going to say this, and Angie knows this is true, that show would have never happened without you. So I know this is a focus on Rick, but I know Rick would want us to say that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you were like a brother to him.
Right.
It was more than just a co-host, and you could see it in everything. On the air, you know, he'd razz you on the air just like you do with siblings, and off the air every morning when we would walk in the door and Rick would be sitting here at 8 o'clock with his hard-boiled eggs and his peanut butter crackers and flipping through the paper and, you know, winners. Did you see this? Winners.
Well, and it was, we used to talk every night at 9:30, what was going on in the news that day, and then he'd call again at 6:30 in the morning. And part of that call originally was just to make sure he was up and he hadn't overslept. and it was weird this morning. At 6:30, I looked at the little clock on my computer and I looked at my phone. Was it going to be a call?
And Deb mentioned that earlier, too, that he was a man of his schedule, and, you know, he had to be here at 8 o'clock, and he knew it, and I got to talk to winners, and I got to get ready, and I got to be to work by 8 o'clock, and even on a day when there was snow, and it was just cruddy weather, he was sitting here in that chair, that exact chair that I think all of us kind of have a hard time looking at, and even sitting in this morning, I know Melissa came in and kind of looked at it like, he's not going to be there. And he was a man of his routine, and I think a lot of us are going to have to adjust to his not having his routine anymore.
Well, and I want to go back to, we were talking to Ken and Rose, Rick's neighbors before the break. I'm going to go back to them. And they lived, you were actually you had a common wall with Rick in his condo, did you not?
That's correct. The good news was that, contrary to a lot of people's beliefs, Rick was pretty quiet. We didn't hear him at all. And, I know you did a show where they were talking about former places where he'd lived that that he made a lot of racket, but not here. We didn't hear him, and he said he didn't hear us, so we were thankful for that.
Well, you know, Rick didn't have really that much of a family. He had his one brother here, and just in talking to Rick, when he moved into, prior to moving into the condo where he was at, he lived in apartments. And when you're in an apartment, you never really get to know your neighbors. You're pretty much just living in a unit in an apartment. But it was just, I never thought Rick would be the neighborly type. And when he moved into his condo, it was refreshing to hear him come in every day and say, "Oh, I met my neighbors right next door, Ken and Rose, or I met Elton and B, or or Patty, or some of the other ones that he met out there." And it was just it took me by surprise because I just didn't think Rick would be the neighborly type of person out there. So he thought real highly of, I mean, almost like family of all of his neighbors out there that he interacted with.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, out here, a lot of the people will go out of their way to talk to you and meet with you, and of course we all kind of share the same backyard and front yard and all that kind of stuff. So when he was out with Bandit and taking care of him, walking him a little bit, he didn't walk very far with him, you understand. But he was out there with him, and a lot of times in the summertime, several of us would congregate around there and just be talking. I think probably one of the funniest things that happened was that one day he called me on the phone, and that's how we initiated things. He called me. I never called him.
Right.
But he called me, and he said, I got this going on in my part over here. He said, "Did you come over and figure out what's going on here?" And we all know he wasn't mechanically.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
And I went in there, and his smoke alarms were just beeping away.
Oh, jeez.
Three of them, all at the same time. And he said, "You know, I haven't been able to sleep at night because of this beep." I said, "Well, Rick, your smoke alarm batteries are burned up." I said, "They're used up." And so he got some batteries, and I put them in for him, and he could sleep after that. So,
well, Ken, I want to thank you and Rose for all that you did for Rick as neighbors, and just know that he appreciated it.
Well, thank you so much, and you folk there at the radio station, you have our sympathy and condolences there. Of course, we were right here on the spot when he passed away.
Ken,
he went down and was having the heart attack,
Ken,
my wife tried to even help with the resuscitation because she is a cardiac nurse.
Go ahead, Phil.
Ken, this is Phil Tower.
Yes, sir.
I was on the phone with Deb, and I could hear she called me twice in the apartment. At one point, I just want everybody to know this. You offered a prayer.
Oh, yeah.
And I could hear you praying, and it was the most calm and peaceful feeling that I got, knowing that, and I'm sure Rick would have been very appreciative of the fact that you were praying in a very stressful time, and I know his friend Deb was just absolutely heartbroken, and I want to thank you for doing that. It meant a lot to me, being on the other end of the phone, to hear Deb and to hear your voice, and it came through so loud and clear, and I just want to thank you for doing that, and I'm sure Rick was thankful too.
Yeah, well, we certainly appreciated the time that we had with Rick, and we're sorry to see him go.
Well, thanks for being there for him in his time of needs, whether it was replacing a light bulb or, you know, the offering a prayer last Thursday night. We appreciate it, Ken. And send our best also to your wife, Rose.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah,
there
thanks.
You go. A couple of Rick's neighbors. I got Bill Steffen on the phone. We're going to talk about some of Rick's early years. Bill Steffen worked with him back in the old WZZM, WZZR days. But let's take a quick break here. We'll get caught back up, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Bill.
They have tact. They just haven't figured out how to use it.
Well, his wife, Mrs. Ramdass.
First thing I would do is change my name.
She Googled his name and found out that he won.
Imagine the pictures. That are going to come up if you punch in the name Ramdass into Google.
Benny, would you do that during the news break?
They are Rick and Scott.
I'd love to know.
Weekday mornings 9 to noon on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
The Rick and Scott Show.
This is the Rick and Scott Show on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
feeding your head and tickling your funny bone. Rick and Scott are on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
This morning it's a tribute to our friend and co-worker of, at least for me, 15 and a half years, Rick Beckett, who passed away last Thursday. And we're kind of taking a stroll through his life. The first half hour we talked a lot about his personal side. I want to jump now into a kind of a highlight of his career. As many of you know, Rick started out as a rock jock here in town. Actually started in JA. And one of his very first jobs was out at a radio station that at one time was owned by TV 13. That was before the FCC said you couldn't own a radio and a TV station combo. And he was out at WZZM, which then became WZZR. And here's what Rick Beckett, believe it or not, sounded like back then.
Z96 and RB congratulating Joanne Rencourt of Grand Rapids. I said, hey, Joanne, can you name the last three songs I played? She says, sure. The Cedar was that one by Donna Summer. Someone left the cake out in the rain. That's one. And as she says, Jim Croce's, well, I know it's kind of late, but I did hope I didn't wake in. I said, that's two. And then she said, the unemployment line by the heat wave. And I said, well, that's close enough for me. And she got the top 10 hit album of her choice. She wanted Joe Walsh's latest LP, but seriously, folks. And she's now registered for Dream Vacation number 2. The drawing is Thursday, November 30th. Stand by for your chance to be a winner. Chicago. Z96, brand new music. That was Chicago from the Hot Streets LP, and I'm alive again. Rick Beckett Show at 6:30, 34 degrees, and here they come again.
I didn't think Rick Beckett ever had that much energy in his entire life.
Yeah. I don't think he ever missed a post. Did he ever miss a post? And that was in the days of records.
Yes,
you didn't
it
have
was.
It counting down
One
for you.
One person who worked with him in those early days was none other than chief meteorologist over at Wood TV, Bill Steffen. Good morning, Bill.
Where did you find that clip?
I've got a couple of clips from those heydays. What was it like working for him back then?
I remember Z96. In fact, you know what? I still have some of the flyers that they took around every week to the record stores here. And I remember some of the people that were there, Brother Bill Gamble, Dave Kent, Rick Donahue, Lee DeYoung, who I think is still kicking around in town here. It was a top 40 station. We had a lot of 12-year-old girls calling up for music to dance to, and we had a ball back then. See, when I first came into town, I met Rick, and Rick was kind of a punk kid. And come to think of it, I was kind of too, to tell you the truth. I was 23 and just out of college when I came over here in 74. ZZM-FM was right when FM started to get big. You know, we were just coming off the AM thing and going into FM. They played top 40 songs, and for a while, the rotation was every 45 minutes. Can you imagine how awful that was? But we just had a ball. We really did. They had four rooms there. One room was a record library, and I think one of the neat things about radio back then is he had a little bit more leeway to be who you were. There was a little bit more of your personality in the show. Now today we have these multi-conglomerates. You're not just one station sitting there. Your station is owned by, you know, a company that owns 1,000 stations, and you're pretty well managed by consultants.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, you know, Rick could go into the library and just pick out what he wanted to play.
And you and him used to do music trivia quite a bit.
Oh, my goodness. Rick was so good at that.
Yes, he was.
I threw out a name like Crispy and St. Peter or April Stevens, and she'd know every record and everything. I couldn't stump the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he'd do trivia with me. That's one of the things that they do on TV. He'd ask me some stupid question like, you know, I mean, what country reads the most comic books or something like that. And, you know, we'd banter that back and forth a little bit. By the way, did you notice, since Rick passed, every single day in West Michigan has been sunny. Isn't
maybe that's
weird?
A sign.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I thought it was kind of funny this morning how cold it was, because Rick used to love, the first thing he would say to me in our 6:30 call was, man, it's cold out there. And Rick was always one that no matter how, he'd always say to me, what's the temperature at your house? And I would tell him, and no matter what the temperature was at my house, it had to be at least 2 or 3 degrees colder at his house.
Well, I always wore my suit coat into the radio room because he'd have the thermostat turned down about 55 degrees in there. But if he was running around, standing, he didn't like to sit in there. I mean, you know, well, time went on here, but he was always standing up in front of the microphone, pretty animated there. It was really interesting, as he would converse with guests a little bit more than most, too. And it wasn't just music, but he talked to people. I think one of the neat things about Rick is he really related to average people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was this guy from the West Side. He'd been through Union High School, and he just knew where his audience was.
Mm-hmm.
was really neat.
Bill, we're running short on time here. Thanks for sharing your stories with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
And thanks for putting the blog up on your blog last week. And I read through all the comments that were there, numerous comments.
Oh, I've had so many people come up to me, people coming up to me in church yesterday and talking about this. I mean, my kids used to listen on the school bus.
You're making me feel old, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, one more thing I was going to tell you. When you guys were on the radio before, I used to go into nursing homes and do, like, speeches. I used to give speeches everywhere on weather. I used to tell them, you know, there's a place where you can still find Lawrence Welk music. It's Rick's show.
Yeah,
remember that? Play that in the background?
Yes, we did. A lot of our music.
And who you guys didn't expect? Calcutta or something like that.
We used to play that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Used to be. As a matter of fact, I think Roving Ralph's theme music was a Lawrence Welk song.
Got it.
Thanks, Bill.
See you later.
Appreciate it. You know, going back through the archives, I actually found not only did Rick work here in town at ZZR, ZZM, Z96, but he then went to Huntsville and worked down in Huntsville, Alabama. And you've heard Rick singing on the air with us. Get a listen to this.
We went down memory lane with an old radio tape I made back in the 1980s in Alabama. I was a work in progress.
732 here in Hit Radio WAY Live, Rick Vegas Show.
Okay, if I can find it, I'll play it, okay?
Alright.
Alright, this is for that Yankee who's blowing out of town here today. She wants to hear this one.
Oh.
She had heard my song. People at Habs don't want to hear it again. That's why we're going to play it. Three people in the park with us.
Hello.
Watch your driving.
Yeah.
It's crazy out there. He's from Huntsville, so he must be right at home.
Hey man, what would you do with $1 million?
Oh, that's easy. Season tickets, party house on the beach, and McDonald's breakfast every morning.
But we get McDonald's breakfast every morning now.
Yeah, but we don't roll up through the drive-thru in a tricked-out Bentley.
This is very true.
It doesn't take much to make your mornings here in Michigan, especially since McDonald's sausage biscuit sandwich is just $1. Hot, sausagey, and only $1 every day. Prices and participation may vary.
Here in Michigan, we know exactly what we value. We value hockey, ice fishing, regular fishing, college football fans, hockey, driving cars, looking at cars, talking about cars, music, our moms, and hockey. But most of all, we value, well, value.
At McDonald's, the value of your breakfast dollar is stronger than ever. Right now, grab a hot, sizzling sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal and get another sausage McMuffin with egg sandwich for $1.
Prices and participation may vary. Ask for details. Hockey.
Local talk with two local guys. Call Rick and Scott at 774-2424 or toll free at 866-290-2899. The Rick and Scott Show on WOOD.
Running real short of time here, but one thing that Rick was always very proud of is the fact that he at one time wrote Johnny Carson and sent in a picture of an elderly gentleman that looked like Johnny Carson as an old man. And Johnny actually read the letter on national TV.
Rick Beckett from Huntsville, Alabama. He says, I know you just celebrated 25 years. You and Ed just celebrated 25 years together. I found this picture in an old magazine, and it looks just like you as an old man. See this?
Holy.
Man took that out of the... Well, now... That is me.
Show it again.
Yeah.
All right, take a picture, Mike.
Yes, sir. It's a little resemblance there.
Yeah, there is.
Rick was so proud of that moment.
Oh,
we'll
man.
Go walk. We'll walk down memory lane and continue our tribute to Rick Beckett. Coming up here on News Radio Wood 1300.